If that doesn't touch your heart, man. Thank you for singing that, Heather. Just to reassure you all, I got my little timer here. Okay. Yeah. Remember what Pastor always told me? You know. So, I'm going to start with reading the Word of God. So if you would all please rise, and I'm going to read from Revelations 3. And my wife, just so you know, she's been working on with me saying certain words. I'm not good at saying a lot of these words, so please forgive me if I say it wrong. Chapter 3, it's verse 14 to the church of Laodicea. Thanks for that help, Jen. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. This is Jesus speaking to the church. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich. And white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness. And slave to put on your eyes, so you can see. What mercy. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thank you. This was challenging for me, and it speaks to my heart. It did, and it does. And this is a challenge that Jesus Christ gives all of us, the church. And I think he's referring to the church in America. Later on, you can read Revelations 3 and let the Spirit speak to your heart with that. God has been convicting me. You know, challenges are good. You know, they wake us up, they stretch us. You know? And this is a serious challenge, and this challenge has eternal rewards or consequences. How many of you would watch a game where the players were indifferent? Where they had no interest in the game? Where they lacked enthusiasm? Where they were disinterested. If you invested your time, you invested your family's time in this game, but it didn't really matter to them. They had a lack of concern. How would that make you feel? Would you want to go back? Do you think you'd be interested? Do you think other people would be interested? You owe me dinner. There you go. We'll go to, I don't know, Red Robin. There you go. Okay. Thank you, Lord. But how would that make you feel? What about a relationship? What would it mean to you if the person you were in a relationship with wasn't available to you. They were always putting other things before you. They were too busy with themselves and what they wanted. You didn't really matter that much unless it benefited them. They didn't really want to give themselves unless it was convenient for them. They had everything they needed in the world. So there was no response to you. There was no emotion to you. That's indifference. That's lukewarm. So we are on this team called church. We are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you all in for Jesus? Last week, Tim talked to us about indifference. In that, when Tim talked, he said in that it's not caring enough to even elicit an emotion or any response. Indifference is dangerous. It's dangerous to the body of Christ. It's dangerous to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus cared so much for us and showed so much love for us. And Jesus was sold out for us. He wasn't indifferent in any way for us. He was all in and he was on fire. Are you sold out for Jesus? Dr. Charles Stanley stated it like this. Apathy and complacency, indifference, are sins which are an affront. Now, I didn't know what affront meant, so I looked it up. Affront means an action or mark that causes an outrage or offense. And then it ends to God Almighty. One of the severest sins from a Christian is a numbing lack of concern for the body of Christ and for Jesus Christ. Apathy. It's an anesthetic attitude of, I don't care. I got everything that I need. And I'm concerned for myself. God has challenged me and convicted me. And that's why I'm sharing this. I'm concerned for the church that some people are going to hell. Are we really concerned about the body of Christ? Do we really care about what God did for us? And do we live for Him like we care? Where's your heart? Again, I remind you, I'm challenging myself with this. God is challenging me. The Holy Spirit's been convicting me. Where's my heart? Do we really care about what God did for us? God says that true worship is our life being a daily sacrifice? Or are we of the mindset that I'm of the fold? I said the prayer. I got everything I need. Why should I concern myself? I have an insurance policy against hell. Do we? I don't turn yet. Apathy, complacency, indifference, spiritual drowsiness, and insensitivity are putting the church and Jesus Christ to sleep. I told you this was going to be challenging. This has been challenging me. And it's a challenge that Jesus has given all of us way back then in the Bible too. He was challenging the church. It's a lack of concern for others. You know, we owe me another meal. The body of Christ. Do you have lack of concern for Jesus? There we go. I'm going to go back to Revelations and read it. And this is from the New King James Version. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans I write. Again, this is Jesus speaking. These things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, stating Jesus is the creator of all things. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would you cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, I didn't go into the Greek or the Hebrew with that. I don't know if there's Greek or Hebrew for just spitting out of the mouth. But to me, it's pretty clear. You know, if you want to get into what the meaning and why I was talking about the Laodiceans back then, they had these hot springs and they had minerals in them. And if you drank of it, it made you gag. It made you spit out. You can go and research that, you know. But he's saying he's spitting us out of his mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's what Jesus is saying. Casual Christians are us folk who use the local body, who use Christ himself when it's beneficial to them. They're not really in. They only get involved when using their gifts to bless the body, when it's convenient, or for what they can get from it. Their contributions, a lot of times, are criticisms. They are relaxed about Christ. Are you relaxed about Christ? Or are you enthusiastic for Christ? Are you on fire for Christ? I'm concerned because Jesus Christ is speaking to the church of Laodicea, which is very similar to the churches of America, to ERC. Again, are we sold out for Jesus? Are you sold out, or are you just a casual Christian with Jesus? The Laodiceans had this lukewarm attitude, this indifference they had. It is what Jesus said that he spits out of his mouth. He says that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And my question to you is, what won't you let go of that's making you lukewarm? Skip that part for now. The Laodiceans knew Christ and salvation through faith, by grace. They equated their increase in things of the world as spiritual blessings, which they are not. They had the things and riches of the world, and their attachment created self-righteousness, thinking they had everything they needed. This lukewarmness put them at a disadvantage spiritually, and it puts us at a disadvantage spiritually. I want to read that part because I want to go over some of that part, because we might not think we're rich like the Laodiceans. It says, because you say I am rich and increase with goods and have no need for nothing, I knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. See, their attachment to things of this world created that lukewarm feeling. The church was unconscious of her spiritual poverty because they were blind. And it's very similar to the church today. What they needed and what we need, we couldn't purchase with money, but only with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They were not interested. They were casual. They were indifferent. They were not sold out for Jesus Christ. Just going over the riches part, because he was talking about the heart here and where the matter of the heart is, that it's not the money or the things of the world that are evil. It's the love of those things, making them lord over him in our lives, that make us lukewarm, those attachment to things. And if we think at ERC, or in America, that we're not rich like them, I just wanted to look up a few facts and a few statistics here to share with you to show how in common we really are, how rich we really are. One in 10 people in the world live on $2 a day. How many of you live on more than $2 a day? Pretty rich. The typical person in America, this comes from Forbes magazine, in the bottom 5%, the typical American, the bottom 5% of income is still richer than 68% of the world. That's Forbes magazine. We're pretty similar to the Church of Laodicea. And just to one up it one more, we even try to live like we're rich. 70 to 78% of Americans live in debt, trying to be rich. And that puts us at a disadvantage. Not just the material things, but who are we attached to? What people? Our wives, our husbands, our careers? What are we putting over Jesus in our lives? The body of Christ, right, should be important, but not over Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ touches your heart, you're going to want to be involved with the body of Christ. You're going to want to use your gifts to encourage and build up the body of Christ. If I asked all of you right now, if you're all in for God, all in, what would you say? Don't answer, just between you and the Holy Spirit. What would your life reveal? Would you give up everything for Him? I'm going to go to Luke. Thanks for reminding me, Jen, to put a little marker. Luke 18, the rich ruler. I think these two stories, stories here in the Bible that Jesus spoke are a good parallel of somebody that's all in for Jesus and somebody that's not all in. Somebody that's kind of lukewarm and somebody that's on fire. And in Luke 18, the rich young ruler. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? None is good save one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, the rich ruler, like all of us might say sometimes, "I did all these things. I do all these things. From my youth, I did all these things." So now Jesus is going to get to the heart of the matter. He always speaks to the heart. Always. It says, and he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet you lack one thing." Now he's going to go to the heart. It's about the heart. Where's your heart? "Sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." You shall have treasure in heaven and come follow me. Now, imagine having that opportunity, have Jesus say that to you personally. And this is what the rich young ruler says. And this isn't just talking about money. Any attachment that we have, that we're putting Lord into our lives, in our heart above Jesus. And when he heard this, the rich ruler, he was very sorrowful. He was sad. For he was very rich. Now that's a lukewarm Christian. That's what I relate to a lukewarm. He was sad. He didn't want to give up everything. He wasn't all in for Jesus. There were conditions. Do you have conditions on your faith? I'm just asking the Spirit to speak to us as a church, as a body. Now the parallel to that is, here you go. Okay, I'm just trying to say it right. Zacchaeus, there you go, thank you. I got it wrong again, darn it. I practiced that too, man. Okay. But on a serious note, here's Zacchaeus. Listen to this. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the tax collectors, and he was rich. Listen to this now. This dude had everything he needed. He sought to see Jesus, to see who he was, this man he heard of. He sought him. He went after him. Are you seeking Jesus every day? He sought him. But he could not see him because he was of a little stature. He was a short little dude. Small person, however, whatever is politically correct there. Okay? He was small. All right, but he didn't allow his, you know, disadvantage in his body to deter him. He wanted to see who this Jesus was. He sought him. Didn't matter that he was small and he couldn't see above the crowd because everybody was around to see Jesus and he wanted to see this man. And what did he do? Did he just walk casually? No. And he ran. He ran and climbed up a tree to see him because he didn't want him to pass by. Would you do that? That's all in for Jesus to me. He didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. Didn't care about his money, about anything. He just wanted to see who this man was. He didn't care that he was small. He was climbing up that tree. He was going to see Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for this day I must abide in your house. And what did he do? He said, 1 second? No. He made haste. He jumped out of that tree. He got down quick. As soon as Jesus said jump, he jumped. Are you ready to jump for Jesus? This is joy. And then it says, and he came down and he received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the crowd, they all murmured. They started to gossip, right? Blah, 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 all that stuff. Saying that he has gone to be a guest at a sinner's house. Well, Jesus comes for the sinner, right? He's come for us. Isn't that refreshing? Doesn't that give you hope? Gives me hope. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. He didn't wait. He didn't ask him, what should I do? He just said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of all my goods I give to the poor. He didn't say, God, what do I have to do to follow you? Nothing. He was excited, jumped up a tree, jumped down. Here, take it all. I'm giving you half of everything. And then he goes even further, okay, and says, and if I have taken anything from a man in false accusation that didn't belong to me, if I stole from them, basically, I give them fourfold. Not one, not onefold, twofold, threefold, but fourfold. Okay? And if you read a little, there's some teaching here that I didn't know, but the Roman law required a fourfold restoration. But the Levitical law, which this man was a Jewish man, so under the Levitical law, okay, only required one-fifth part. So he gave more than he had to give. He gave half of everything and then more than he had to give to everybody else. That's true repentance. That's true joy. That's being on fire for the Lord. That's not asking, what do you want me to do? You just do it for the Lord. You go to, I know what you want me to do. Love on people. Build up the body of Christ. Use my gifts for the ministry. Not depend on just 10 people to do 80% of the work. Right? Not watch the football game when I could be helping somebody that's in need. Whatever you want me to do. It's all yours anyway. I mean, praise God. That's being on fire for God. That's not lukewarm. That's on fire. The rich ruler was lukewarm. He had to ask and waver and count. Oh, man, I got to do that. Come on. And he went back. So do we care about the things of God? Do we care about the body of Christ? Are you using your gift or gifts to build up the body for the glory of God, or if it only brings glory to you? Are you sold out for Jesus? Are you on fire for Him? What won't you give up for Him? Are we lukewarm as a church? Lukewarm basically means that your faith doesn't mean very much to you. You're not enthusiastic like Zacchaeus. Instead, you just drift around, never sacrificing for the body of Christ or for the kingdom. You don't really go out of your way for the ministry, like I said. And Jesus says, if you are lukewarm, Jesus says this, not me, I spit you out. You're blind, spiritually blind. You know the song we sing? I was blind and now I see. Hallelujah. But He's saying, if you're lukewarm, you can't see. You think you can. You're spiritually blind. The great thing about our Lord, the lover of our soul, the great I Am, the one who gives us mercy, is that there is hope, and we always have hope with Him. Yeah. Jesus goes on in verse 19, and He tells us this. He tells the church in America, He tells ERC this. That He rebukes and disciplines those He loves. He rebukes and He disciplines those He loves. We can overcome our lukewarmness as a church, as a body, locally and universally. We can have revival. We can have an awakening. How does this happen? He says, to be earnest and repent. So I ask us, church, to repent. In verse 20, Jesus goes even deeper into the heart and says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking about your heart, your life. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. If any man or woman hear My voice, you heard it today, His word, and open the door, like Zacchaeus did, come into My house, I open you into My life, I will come in to that man and woman, and I will eat with that person. Man does not eat on bread alone, but by the word of God. And they with Me drink of Me and never thirst again. He goes on to say, I grant this person, these people, to sit with Me on My throne. He who has an ear, let him and her hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I leave today, and I just want to ask you to do with me, because I don't know where any of you are with God. And again, I'm concerned for the church. But will you get with me today at some time, whenever, because I'm going to do it, and get into silence with Christ and ask Him these four things? And I'm going to tell you one of these, and the Spirit's speaking to my heart right now, because one of these, when I was writing it down, I hesitated. And I said, whoa, that's big. So Lord, forgive me. These four things, ask yourself in silence with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart as a church, as the body. Ask Him, Father, reveal to me where I am lukewarm. Father, give me strength where I am lukewarm. Ask Him to do whatever it takes to get you on fire for Him. And the last one, when you're alone, ask Jesus. Tell Jesus, if you must take everything from me, everything, take it away. Because I want you so bad. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you discipline and rebuke those you love. And I thank you for the hope that we have in you. I thank you for your mercy who searches us and seeks us out and Lord, just heals us. I thank you for what you did on the cross, Jesus Christ, for us so that we can repent and we can be forgiven as a body and individually in our lives. I thank you for your blood that covers us, and I thank you for your word that speaks truth. I just ask now that you minister to our hearts, that you minister to our minds. Show us what might be wrong in us, Lord, so we can give it to you, and lead us down the way everlasting. And I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. May go in peace.